Here we have some visitors from Dyersburg here today, Dyersburg, Tennessee. Fond memories. We went to school. Melissa and I went to the MSOP in Memphis for the 2009, I think we graduated. And we preached in a place called Halls, Tennessee, which I think y'all might be familiar with. And Little Halls is where we preached for those 2 years that we were in preaching school. And the preacher there, Phil Meeks, took us out to lunch every Sunday afternoon. And we went to the Applebee's and the mall in Dyersburg. So without Dyersburg, I don't know if we'd be here today. So that was basically our lunch every day. So we appreciate Dyersburg very much. This morning, I'd like for us to consider the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. In this particular book, we find that the Apostle Paul talks of himself quite a bit. He didn't like to do that from what he wrote. He liked to talk about the gospel more than anything else. But he liked to, in this particular book at least, reveal a little bit of his personality to us. And this morning, I want to narrow our focus on 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 18. And within this particular text, we find what we can consider the strength of Paul. And I figured it'd be appropriate for us to, as we're considering things in this life, how to remain strong, how to remain faithful, how to remain the kind of person God would have us to be. We look at the Apostle Paul as an example of the greatest evangelist the world's ever seen. He was someone that we need to emulate when it comes to being strong and remaining faithful. So as we look into our text this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 18, I'd like to read it for us to introduce this text, and then we'll go back through and break this chapter down, or this text down, as it naturally divides itself. So beginning to read here in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 1, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, let us not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise up Jesus, or raise us up with Jesus, and present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause the thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we don't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So again, 18 verses there, the beginning of chapter 4, a somewhat lengthy reading, I recognize, but the importance of this particular text cannot be overstated, in my opinion. We find here in this particular text the key to understanding the strength and the mindset of the Apostle Paul. And if we learn a little bit more about how his mind operated today, and we apply that to our own perspective, our own personal mindset, we can become stronger and more resilient as Christians in this life. So as we look into this particular text, now I've broken it down in this particular way to allow us to kind of unfold each section as it presents itself. We find verses 1 through 6 discussing the openness of Paul. We find verses 7 through 12 talking about the resilience of Paul. 13 through 15 talking about Paul's confidence. Verse 16 talks about the fact that Paul was able to refresh himself. And then finally, verses 17 and 18 talk about Paul's ability to see the unseen. And so for this morning, I want to go through those different thoughts with you from a different perspective to see how Paul saw the world and to hopefully emulate that same mindset within ourselves as well. So to begin talking about the outline we have before us, let's talk about the openness of Paul. This is one that's very important for us to start our hearts off right, our minds off right. Verses 1 through 6. I have three steps for us to consider the openness of Paul to allow us to move through it in an efficient way. The first thing that Paul did when it came to him being an open book to those that found him was he was able to renounce the hidden things. There were things that were secret, that were veiled, that were covered, that no one else really needed to know. But instead of hiding them in shame, he renounced them. He called them out, what they were, and he allowed people to see his imperfections. And as Christians, if we want to be strong, truly strong, not just having the appearance of strong, we have to own the fact that we're broken people. We have to own the fact that there are things that we have done and we may do in the future, that although they are sinful, although they are wrong, we still have to own them because they're ours. And we can move past them once we recognize what they are and accept the grace of God that he has for us. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, 1 Peter 2, 11 and 12, he put it this way, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, I beg you as people that are just passing through this physical world, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." Peter said, I want to remind you that you're just passing through this world. And as you're passing through, there are people that will be looking for your faults. And they'll be looking for things to condemn you with. But if you have your life full of good works, when they see that, they see the truth of who you truly are, then they're going to glorify God on your behalf and also want to be one who glorifies God. So renouncing the hidden things, those things that sometimes we want to keep secret from our loved ones and even to ourselves, we have to own them to be able to move past them. The second thing that Paul mentioned in this particular text, to be someone who's open, is he has to be someone who manifests the truth, who makes clear the truth of God's word. If we look over in Colossians chapter 1, Colossians 1, verses 3 through 6, reads this way, "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has into all the world and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth." When we're people that are able to own our weaknesses, but we're also able to move beyond them to manifest or make clear the grace of God through the gospel, we're able to see people who can learn that, live that, and then therefore bring forth fruit from their lives. We can perpetuate the good news of Jesus Christ when we pass it on to others. And then finally, of course, this is an idea that kind of goes hand in hand with the manifestation of the gospel, is preaching the truth. It's what Paul did to be open. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'll just read verse 18 for us. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. When the world thinks about the beliefs that we have, that we trust in a perfect man who gave his life on the cross of Calvary, that he was resurrected from the grave and allowed us to preach the gospel or the good news of his resurrection, that seems foolish to a world that looks at it objectively. But when you experience the truth of what the Bible says, and when you live that truth out, you're able to see that people are being saved by the content of that message. And that, connectively, all of that together will allow us to live a more open life the way that Paul did in this first section we find, verses 1 through 6. Secondly, one thing that can be said about Paul is he was resilient. He always seemed to bounce back no matter what happened to him. When he was run out of town, he just kept going to the next town and kept preaching. When they stoned him to death, he came back to life and went to the next town and kept preaching. When they accused him of being someone that was not an apostle, he gave them proof of exactly why he was an apostle and kept preaching. When they put him on a prison stock to Rome and that ship sank, he got off that wreckage and he went to Rome anyway. When they put him under house arrest, he wrote the New Testament. No matter what you did to Paul, you couldn't stop him from moving forward. And that kind of resilience is what we need today to be as strong as Paul was. If we look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 11 kind of fits our theme here. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble that came to us in Asia. I want you to know what happened to us while we were there, he says. That we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even life. This is rare to find Paul talk about himself being so heavy with the responsibility and the weight of what they were going through, that life itself seemed to be a burden. Have you been there? We all have, haven't we? You've been in a situation where something is dragging you down so much you feel like you can't even go on? That's what Paul is talking about him feeling at the beginning of this book. Verse 9. Yes, we had this sentence of death within ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Verse 10. Who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. I want to go over now to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I have a little note here. Read this if time permits. I think time permits, so I'm going to read it. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This is a somewhat lengthy text as well, but I want to give you a picture of how resilient Paul was. If Paul, a flawed, sinful person, just like you and just like me, can make it through these circumstances, surely we can make it through whatever's burdening us today. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22. He's going to take a moment and reflect about what he has been through as a Christian. Let's compare our lives to him. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. He says, I'm speaking foolishly now. I am more of a minister than those people that are talking bad about my position in Christ. And labors more abundant, and stripes or in beatings more above measure, and prisons more frequently, and deaths often. Verse 24, from the Jews 5 times I received 39 stripes. He was beaten 39 times, 5 times over from the Jewish people that he came from and that he was preaching the gospel to. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. He was killed in that instance. He got a vision of what paradise was like. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. Have you ever spent an entire night and an entire day clinging to the wreckage of a broken up ship, praying for deliverance from your God? I haven't been there. Maybe you have, but Paul has definitely been there. In journeys, often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and in thirst, and in fastings often. Not fasting for a spiritual benefit, but fasting because he couldn't get food. And cold, and nakedness, and besides these other things, what comes upon me daily? My deep concern for all the churches. Paul, what have you been through? He's been through all of that to humbly say he is nothing but a servant of Jesus Christ. When you say that Paul is resilient, that is an understatement of the year. He got through all that and he bounced back because of the power of Jesus Christ. And brethren, if he can do that and still wake up the next morning and get back to work in the kingdom of God, surely we can too. If we look back into our text, verses 13 through 15, he has a level of confidence around him that is encouraging. He knows that he is someone that because of the gospel is to speak the word of God, and he'll speak it boldly because of what he's been through. This confidence is recorded as well in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I do not count myself to be finished with this Christian life or race, if you will. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. One thing that Paul was able to say that he could do well was to let the past go and move forward. We are a society, I think, that loves to look back. I know in my own personal life, it is required of me sometimes to think about what I've been through, what I've said before, what I've lived through in different occasions, and to almost relive that, if not annually, maybe even every month. I know that Facebook is a part of our lives now for the most part. Social media is there. And almost every day that I click that little Facebook app icon, it pops up saying, here are some memories of things that you said in the past. They're sometimes not good things. There's things that I thought that I should have said, but they're there. So we're a people that look back into our history. We see our old classmates, our old friends, our old acquaintances. We're encouraged to look back. And by looking back, we're stuck. We're stuck. If we forget those things that are behind us, the mistakes that we have made, the foolishness that the things that we have said and done, and we just try to do better the next day, after the next day, after the next day, we're making some progress, aren't we? Paul was able to do that in a spiritual sense. He was someone that was a Jew that thought he was doing the right thing by dragging Christians to their death. When the first martyr for the cause of Christ, Deacon Stephen, lost his life, when he was stoned to death, Saul was right there consenting to his death. He was encouraging this man be killed or executed because he was a Christian. If he wasn't good at forgiving himself and moving on, the Apostle Paul wouldn't be the Apostle Paul that we know and that we love and that we're encouraged by today. He had enough confidence to be able to say that he was someone that made mistakes, learned from them, forget them, and then move forward. That's the confidence that Paul had. And because of that confidence, when we read of his words, when he thought that he was going to his death, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, we can read these words and see the mind of someone who was not stuck on the present or the past, but he was hoping for the future. He says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. I am shedding my blood as a drink offering for the cause of Christ. The time of my departure is at hand." What's the best part about leaving this world and going to the next world? We get to say our time of departure is at hand, and there's no TSA agent in sight. It's a joke, right? I'm not being serious. Okay. Verse 7. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but to all those that love his appearing." Because he had the confidence to forgive his past, just as Jesus did, and to move forward, he was able to look to that reward to keep moving. In verse 16, we find just one little blip of a thought. Verse 16 of our text, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Therefore we do not give up," some translations say. "Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." It's an interesting thought, to say the least, to know that all of us can say with certainty, our outward man is perishing. We can look down at our bodies year after year and see subtle changes, can't we? If you don't see subtle changes in your physical appearance, please tell me your secret. We all age. We're all, in one way or another, having our outward man perish. Because the way God designed it. This is not our focus. This is not what's important. This is just a machine that God designed for us to experience this physical world that he created for us. A wonderful machine, but still just a machine that will break down sooner or later. When Paul thought about himself, he said, "Our outward man is perishing, but our inward man is renewed day by day." There is a passage when Paul is talking about his own persecution that he underwent in 2 Corinthians. And one little line about his persecution says, "I die daily." Now, in that context, again, he's talking about the threats that he received, the social order of the day. He knew that at any particular day, it could be his last because of the persecution that Christians went through, especially Paul, in the first century. But that little thought, "I die daily," has always stuck with me as an encouraging word. Because Paul, at the end of the day, could say, "You know what? Today may be my last day. If I get a blessing of tomorrow, that could be my last day. If I get 2 days from now, that could be my last day." That was true for Paul because of persecution. It's true for each one of us for a variety of different reasons. Every day could be our last day. Now, the question we have to ask ourselves, are we discouraged? Are we depressed that we may not be here tomorrow? Or are we going to do our best to refresh ourselves inwardly to live like it may be our last day? Not live as the world would say, you only live once, mean to do whatever you want to do as long as you have opportunity. No. You may have this as your last day, so live as bright as you can as a light for Jesus Christ. So when we say here, "Therefore, we do not give up. Our outward man is perishing, but our inward man is renewed day by day," we can refresh ourselves every single morning to live new. And finally, this last thought is one that is difficult to make tangible because it's intangible. It's like John writing Revelation, trying to give us a word picture of this spiritual scene, this panoramic vision of what Jesus is showing him. He's trying to capture it in human words. He's doing a great job, but it's difficult. Looking back into our text, verses 17 and 18, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." What does that mean? How can you look at something that's not seen? Really, you can't. But what he means is a figure of speech is he's not focusing his life on things that are just temporary. He's not giving his whole of existence over to things that are going to pass away when his body is done on this earth. He is giving his life over to things that will be there when this life is over. He's laying up his riches and his treasures in heaven. He's placing his trust in the Almighty God that will receive him in glory. And he is living his life to bring as many people as possible with him to that realm of paradise. What makes Paul strong? Well, one of them has to be that he is able to see the unseen. Do you know how your eyes work in the dark? I know just a little bit. I know from experience by walking my dog in the middle of the night, and I know from what I'm told from scientists. I know that there are certain rods in my eyeballs. God designed it that way. And at nighttime, in low light conditions, your eyes will adjust to be able to see better in the dark. You've probably experienced that when you wake up in the middle of the night. You can see the room pretty clearly. You turn a light on, you can't see very well, and the light goes back off, right? Well, those rods in your eyes are designed in such a way to help you see, but how do you see clearly at nighttime? Well, you can know from experience, if you go outside and you want to look at something in the dark, if you look right at it, it's going to be a little bit fuzzy and shady. But if you look off to the right or to the left, it will become clearer because the rods in our eyes designed in such a way for us to, at low light conditions, see our peripheral clearer than our main focus. What's the point of that? Well, if you have something attacking you from the right or the left at nighttime, it's probably a good way for God to design our eyeballs, right? For a spiritual application, when Paul is talking about how he saw the world, he's not looking directly at the things that are temporary. He's looking at the things that are unseen. So he's looking for things that you can't see. He's not focused on what you can see. He's focused on what you can't see to be able to see what you can see clear. Does that make sense? So when it comes to him looking at this life, he only looked at this life based on how he saw it from the spiritual or eternal realm. What does that mean? When it comes to the problems of this world, the things that can distract us from what's truly important, the things that we blow up and make a big deal about in our lives, if we think about it from the perspective, is this going to help me or hurt me get to heaven? That's the main point. We have to shade or filter our troubles, our complaints, our perspective, our goals based on the eternal realm. That's what's truly important. So what is it, brethren, that we can learn from the strength of Paul this morning? If you want to be at least as strong as Paul, you have to be open with yourself. Know your weaknesses. Know where you're weak. And then avoid those temptations if you can. You have to be resilient. You have to be able to get hit and get back up, as Rocky said, right? You have to have the confidence to know that when God has forgiven your past, you have to forgive your past and move forward. If you don't, you'll forgive yourself when God has, you'll be stuck in that past, reliving old memories, old mistakes over and over again. You have to have the mindset of being refreshed every day that God blesses you with. And you have to be able to shade or filter the problems of this life based on the big picture of eternity. See the unseen. That's the strength of Paul. This morning, folks, the opportunity is yours to make sure that before you leave our assembly, that your life is right with the righteous judge. When Paul reflected on his life almost being over, he knew that he was going to go to heaven to receive that crown of righteousness. Do you know that this morning? If you have any doubt that today is your last day, that you wouldn't go on to heaven, please come forward now. Speak with us for a few moments and learn what the Bible says about getting to heaven. If anyone has a need, please come forward now. Stand and we sing.